On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, that's not me. Well, it's a Monday. It's the beginning of another week. Oh my God, they all seem to look the same at a point, don't they? Is that true? As soon as you get your first job when you're young, like when you're like 50, when'd you get your first job? That's when things change. That's when all of a sudden every day seems the same. Every Monday comes up. Yeah, it's different. Then you live for the weekend, Monday through Friday. Oh my God, that's pure hell. And then the weekend comes and heaven opens up all of a sudden. I mean, come on, you know? And then you get into your 50s and you don't even know what day of the week it is. That's what life is in a nutshell, assuming that a nutshell contains life. That tiny little shell that has that little nut in it, you know, that's very small, and your whole life fits inside a nutshell. What? Who made that up? You know whose fault this is? Confucius. Confucius was confusing. I think that's where he got his name. Confucius was basically a pain in the ass. I mean, his friends didn't want to talk to him. Oh, we're having a party next week. Did you invite Confucius? No. And whenever he comes to the party, he just stands in the middle of the room and starts saying, like, wise things, and it pisses people off. I mean, they just want to talk and have a good time, and Confucius is standing there, like, spouting off these wisdom things. It's just like, wow, how annoying. Confucius was married like 20 times, and all of his wives said, "Geez, will you just shut up?" I could never be married to Confucius because I'm a man, but still, I mean, God, his wife, his third wife, Becky Confucius, she couldn't stand him. Oh, because he just would not shut up.
Shut up!
He wouldn't stop. You know, man is like filter. You put it in a corner and it comes out glowing like man.
Shut up!
What are you talking about? Plant go in pot and water make it breathe life, like life in a nutshell.
Shut up!
Oh, he was so annoying. He had a job for about a year writing Chinese fortune cookies. But even then, people stopped ordering Chinese food because Confucius was just so annoying. You'd have the nice Chinese dinner And then you'd open up the fortune cookie and they go, oh, Confucius crap again. Oh my God, why does this man just keep spouting out this stuff?
Shut up!
Wow. Yeah, he turned out to be a lonely individual in his older years because nobody wanted to talk to him anymore. When Confucius would call his friends, they wouldn't answer the phone because they had caller ID back then. And they go, you know, dear, will you get the phone? The phone's ringing. Who is it? Oh, no, it's Confucius. Say we're not home. Say we're not home. He just doesn't shut up, this guy.
Shut up!
It was awful. It was, even in school. In school. Confucius had to write essays and term papers, and the teacher said, I'm not reading this. This guy is, he just goes on and on. And it doesn't even make sense.
Floor go beneath feet, but man knows that height is the answer.
What? What are you talking about? First of all, use some verbs. And secondly, the hell are you saying?
And who do you think you are? You pompous little Confucius. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're the only person on earth? Well, you're not, Confucius.
Oh, wow. People started to turn on him, like really. They thought he was an incredibly wise man, and then they started going, oh, he's not wise at all. It's like Trump. All right, that's enough. Sorry to get politics involved here, but it's hard not to. Anyway, welcome to the program. Happy Monday to you, whatever that means. And that'll be that. I was watching television yesterday, as I tend to watch every day, as real life starts to become rather hard to grasp, I turn to television for my fantasies. They had a commercial for this ABC show called The Bachelor. Have you ever heard of this? There's also a spinoff, The Bachelorette, and there's a spinoff of that, The Priest. I mean, it's... What they do is they try to, there's this, for The Bachelor, there's this bunch of women, and they try to vie for his, I don't know what, I guess to date him, to marry him, to, I don't know what the deal is, to be honest with you, never figure that out. So they have The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, The Priest, you know, they try to marry, oh, by the way, that the one where they did The Priest and all these women were trying to get a date with the priest, and all these men were trying to get a date with the priest, and it never worked out. No, that was a show that failed immediately. So now on The Bachelor, they probably, the ABC Bachelor people said, well, I don't know, we got to think of another angle here. How about if The Bachelor is retired, and instead of all these young hunks, he's an old hunk. Ooh, wow. I think you may have something, Marcia. That's right. He will be the bachelor.
Huh. Well, what about Gary down the hall in accounting? He's attractive.
Yes, Gary is, isn't he? He's like a real man, but he's well over 60.
Wow. We can all have these hot senior women go after him and try to snag him.
Wow. We'll call it the older bachelor.
No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work, Bob. Got to come up with a better name than that.
How about the silver-haired bachelor?
No, they don't have to be silver-haired. That's ridiculous. Huh, that's weird. You got a golden idea here, but no time.
Golden! The Golden Bachelor.
That sounds like he's dipped in gold paint.
No, it doesn't.
Let's call him the Golden Bachelor.
Gary. Gary in accounting, the Golden Bachelor.
That's right, we'll do that. And then they do this strange commercial. They make Gary look appealing. They do this strange commercial, and they say, everybody wants Gary. Like Gary's like the special guy. I don't even know what he does for a living. He's retired. Florida wants to retire to Gary. All right, what does that mean? I get it. Gary should be retiring to Florida because that's what everybody does. Well, they used to until Florida went stupidly nuts. But before that, I mean, everybody wanted to retire to Florida. But now the twist in this teaser in the commercial is now Florida wants to retire to Gary. Okay, that's a Confucius thing because it makes no sense. Florida can't retire to Gary because Gary's so attractive that the state of Florida wants to retire to this elder bachelor? And why aren't you married, Gary? Why can't you? Were you never married before, Gary? Which makes me question some stuff. Or were you married before but then got divorced, Gary? Which means that not all the time did you make the best choices. And why were you divorced if you were married before, Gary? Is it because you wouldn't shut up? I believe it's more that than anything.
Shut up!
So, am I going to be teased into watching the series on ABC, The Golden Bachelor? No, because I don't care about Gary in any way, shape, or form, nor the people that are after Gary. Once Gary runs out of Viagra, I think the relationship's over for these women. And I don't know the golden women that are after the golden idol, but it ain't going to be me. So good luck, Gary. And don't lose your job in accounting at ABC. All right, fine. The other thing I wanted to talk about today, before we bring up our guests, is I have quite a few Facebook accounts, although I'm not supposed to have more than one. And I don't know how that happened. They just morphed into other accounts by themselves. But anyway, I've got like three or four Facebook accounts. And when you add the number of friends and followers for the all these Facebook accounts, it adds up to 17 million people. Anyway, I exaggerate a tad. Because I think I'm Gary the Golden Bachelor. I don't know. What do you aspire to, Ron, someday? I want to be Gary and have all these women chasing me on television. Anyway, so I have Facebook accounts. So every once in a while I'll get a friend request from a person who I don't know at all. But supposedly I know them because we have two or three mutual friends out of all these thousands of friends that I says I have, although I don't know them. Anyway, so Facebook is just it's crazy. So anyway, so now I'm starting to get friend requests from these odd things, and I go to their page to see if I want to be friends with them, and I usually don't. Even people I know, I don't want to be friends with them. But these are like hot babes or these incredibly hot-looking hunky guys, which I'm not really interested in. The hot babes, maybe, but that's not right. That's not right. Who are? And then I look at their profiles, and it says none to report, nothing. I can't tell what their political leaning is, if they're stalking me, if they're crazy. All I see is these attractive women dressed in very seductive costuming, winking at me on a Facebook page with absolutely no posts whatsoever. So obviously, I'm not going to. And the few friends that it does show, my assumption is that they're all perverts.
So no, and I say no, I don't want, I deny them. I deny them the privilege of becoming my Facebook friends. I don't know these prostitutes. If they become my friends on Facebook, do I have to pay them? I mean, how does that work with these attractive people who have no history? Where do they live? They don't live. Do they have friends? No, they don't. None to report. Where were they brought up? They weren't brought up. They just existed like this. I don't understand. I didn't think that was supposed to happen on facial books. It's a strange world, ladies and gentlemen. As Confucius once said, the nutshell of life renders nothing but scraps of shells. Confucius, you know, Confucius, I don't know. I don't know where you're buried or anything like that. I think it's at Forest Lawn. I don't know where you're buried. I don't know what it says on your tombstone, although I can imagine. Some witty saying, probably. That is not funny. Can you imagine being on Facebook and Confucius wants to be your friend? No, you're going to screw up everything. I can't read your stuff every day. I just can't do this anymore. Stop imparting wisdom upon me. I don't need your wisdom. It's becoming annoying. But this helps you, my friend, look into yourself. I don't want to look into myself. There's nothing in there. And even if there is, I don't want to look at it. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone, Confu. What would you call Confucius for short, if you really knew him? Confucius is like his full name. What would Confu? Connie. Connie. How are you, Connie? Men who call me Connie know not what to call me. Oh, stop it already. Will you stop it? Stop it. All right. Our guest is going to join us momentarily. She's an author and has written a very interesting book. And I think you'll find it fascinating because it's a different approach to it. And as is with every writer who creates fiction, there's a little piece of them usually inside these stories, or someone that they knew or something about them that they thrust into the story, because you can only write from knowledge. I mean, you can make stuff up when you're writing fiction. That's the idea. But there has to be something in there with which you are familiar. So, I'm sorry, I'm clearing my throat. All right, is that okay with you? All right. So there's a little part of the author in everything that they do. So I find that part of it fascinating. I personally, because this is all about me, I wrote a book about 12 years ago. Even though I'm only 14 years old, I wrote a book about 12 years ago about marriage and all the things that happen behind the scenes when someone's planning a wedding. Because I was a wedding videographer for quite a number of years. I had quite a large company. We employed quite a few people to go out every weekend and do wedding videos. We were doing like 10, 12 weddings a weekend. Very lucrative, believe me. Because when someone's having a wedding, it's a once in a lifetime experience. At least they think it is. So they pay like millions of dollars just for flowers. So back then people weren't doing their own videos. You had to hire a videographer, a professional one. That was me and the people in my company. So we did rather well. So I wrote a book about that. It's called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. It's still available on Amazon, I believe, even though it's like 12, 15 years old. Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. Check it out. It's about all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes and how planning a wedding can drive you crazy. Fun, but not fun. All the things you run into, all the problems, all the prescriptions from your doctor that you need in order to get through this, that stuff. Where the woman and her entourage do all the planning and the guy does absolutely nothing. And when he does, he fucks it up. So it's just an it's interesting within its own world. But anyway, there you go. So I respect authors. I'm working on my second book, have for 10 years. I don't know if it's going to happen. Anyway, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us, and we'll be talking about that. Okay, all right. Whew, that was exhausting. That was a lot of work for me to talk for so long. It's not easy. You try it sometime. Yeah, Confucius knows what I'm talking about. Right, Confuce? Confuse? Connie?
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Julie Rogers joins us now. She's written a very interesting book, Falling Stars. It's an award winner, as a matter of fact. Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to have you here. This is an interesting book. It's about mortality and when you're faced with various things in life, to move beyond them and through them. And tell me where this idea came from.
It really started from my own life, of course. Mm-hmm. But this is a fantasy, and so I was able to kind of integrate both the mortality and the magical resilience that life has. So in Falling Stars, 9-year-old Tommy Lucas needs a bone marrow transplant to survive in the next 6 months, but he's convinced he's a vampire.
Right.
And that his cancer is a curse on his bloodline. And his mom, June, is an oncologist, of all things. She allows him to have this fantasy and to, you know, do things like eat only red-colored foods, because she doesn't want him to lose hope. And so we see her journey through it, too, as an oncologist and a mother. And he is stoked when he finds a story, an Essene series, about urban legend Viscount Claudius Fallon. Yes. Fallon is a vampire. He's a human vampire hybrid from Cardiff. So a little bit different vampire story than what you typically read, because he has his own disease. He has leukemia. Mm. So he travels from Cardiff to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, during World War II to seek a cure. And Tommy is convinced that he's still there. Tommy and his mother are living in Eureka Springs at the time. And so he, in his quest, he finds a street artist who is a little bit concerned because the street artist happens to be Fallon himself. And so that those are the twists and the turns of the story. But, the mortality aspect came out of my own personal experience with cancer. My father developed multiple myeloma in 2014. And it was a hard 4 years. I have been very close to it myself, and I don't take it lightly at all. But I was also able in this story to weave in some of the magical moments and the philosophies that I gained from that.
Yeah, any good fiction has a basis of truth and experience behind it. Otherwise, how can you really write about it? So That's intricate. It's interesting. I read some of the backstory here. I don't know your age. I don't know mine, as a matter of fact. And I remember.
We'll lie about it.
Yeah,
all the time,
that's what we'll do anyway. So don't even ask. But I remember going to school, and I would go home and watch Dark Shadows, which was a soap opera on television with vampires, and it was with a vampire, Barnabas Collins. And that character was so strong and so impressive that, I mean, kids were actually relating to him, and he was a vampire. And I know that this meant something to you with the way you picked the story up, I understand.
It was a muse of mine, because there was a little boy in my class who could have passed for a vampire. He had the dark hair and the cuspids, the whole nine yards.
Uh-oh.
He also had the cape. And he was an avid fan of Dark Shadows. Of course, then, you know, we had show and tell, so nobody cared, right? Yeah. We were so entertained by him. And he was a very good actor. And yes, he was the muse behind this story, because I started thinking, you know, he's doing it all for fun and games.
Yeah.
But what if we had a little boy who did it for a much more serious reason, and that was part of this story, yes.
Very interesting. Very interesting. The supernatural is interesting. Are you into the supernatural at all?
I have been, and I am, yes. Mm-hmm. And that is something that has always fascinated me. I have a couple of other books out that deal with the paranormal and the supernatural.
Yeah, I believe it's like religion, where you have to come up with an explanation for this, for all of this, and that's one of them. And there's some comfort in connecting with something that goes beyond walking around in your bare feet through life. So, I mean, I totally understand that. Do you think that's a decent reason as well?
That is a very big reason behind even the titling of this book, because as I realized it, you know, falling stars are really a misnomer. That's not a true concept. We see a shooting star, and we call that a falling star, shooting star.
Right.
It's actually a meteorite or something out there in space falling. What I began to realize is that, you know, in this whole realm of aging and mortality and so forth, it happens to all of us. We all are stardust, as far as we know today. That's what science is telling us. And also the idea that there is something so much bigger than us that, you know, we have this stark contrast of these gas giants, and in comparison to the average size of our daily dilemmas. We're just a tiny speck compared to the mind-boggling size of our universe.
Yeah, we're just trying to get through it comfortably. That's what we're doing. And that's kind of what your book is about. It's getting through it with, you know, getting over the speed bumps. It's not the speed bumps it's like in life, it's how you maneuver through them.
It is how you navigate them, and that is so true. And I still am learning that myself, obviously.
We all are. Mm-hmm. Okay, the book has been released?
It has. It was released in May.
Excellent. And I assume it's available almost everywhere.
It is. I'm actually expanding that. It's primarily on Amazon and my website, julierogersbooks.com.
Oh.
But I will be expanding that in the next few months to other sites, as well as creating audiobook.
Excellent. I love the audiobook idea, because we're lazy people these days, and we have to open up the world to even lazy people sometimes.
Well, you know, and it fits lifestyle. I went through a whole period where my workaday, I read tons of books on audiobooks. So, it does. And so I have to catch up with the game.
I suppose. I don't. There used to be a romance to everything, and now there's very little left to any of it, but it's like reading the newspaper on an iPad. It's like, oh, come on, you know, you're missing the thing of sitting in the chair and having a coffee. What's the problem with you? Anyway.
Well, there is a different mental process for each one of those, and I think the lines have kind of sort of blurred. Yeah. People, they blurred to people, but I see each one as a different process. So yes, yeah. I kind of try to do it all.
Yeah.
To keep a balance.
Well, you know, these days all you need is Amazon and everybody can get it accordingly. So
that is true. Yeah. And I am trying to kind of not step away from that, but allow people more options.
Sure.
Because that's what I keep hearing in the book world is, you know, we want more options. Yeah.
The book world, the social media world, the world, all those things. Okay. Let's talk about the book itself. It is available everywhere. And how can they contact you if they would want to visit a website? You just told us, but tell us again where they can just hook up with you.
Yes, that's julierogersbooks.com.
Okay, and Rogers is R-O-G-E-R-S, because there are a few ways to spell that these days as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is Falling Stars. Check it out, and I think you'll find it to be both fascinating and rather comforting in a way, too, in a sense, because it's not your average vampire book, that's for damn sure. Hey, Julie, it's been a pleasure. Look forward to your next writing, and thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guest. She was fantastic. She really is. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new program. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.